in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified.
Okay, thank you very much. 2 Timothy 2:1-5.
Now, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Now, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully.
Okay, thank you. And you notice it has given you a number of things there that we need to understand. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. So we are not supposed to get ourselves entangled with the affairs. You know, today I was doing some reflection and I realized what happened to a lot of us as believers, a lot of us as soldiers. We're really not following the rules of the kingdom. What we do, we spend more time in the secular than in the spiritual. And we have to remember what we do for the Lord is what would last, what would count after all other things have passed away. It is the things we do for God would last. And it says, verse 5, and if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So this afternoon, we are going to learn running with the rules, not our rules, not the rules of man, but the rules of the kingdom. Now, what does it mean to run with the rules? Now, we have to run the race with patience. Now, when I was looking through this, I thought about an athlete. The person, one of the persons that came to mind was Usain Bolt. He ran with mastery. He ran with skills. He ran with strategies because he has to strategize how he's going to beat his opponent. And before he actually do the big race, what he has to do? Could somebody tell me? Practice, yes. He has to train. Yes, and he has to train diligently. So for us who are running with the rules of the kingdom, their training, we have to do like what we're doing now. There's also the rules that we have to follow. And I went back to the mandate. There's a section where I'll bring this in. And we have to use the training manual. We have to spend time studying the Word of God, the Bible, in order for us to run the race with patience. Why is God asking us to follow the rules in this race? I want somebody to answer me. Why God is asking us to follow the rules in the race for in the kingdom, the race. We have some bright, intelligent people here, so I'm waiting for a response. Just unmute the mic. And remember, in this class, there is not any wrong or right answer. If something is being said, we're here to correct each other. If I say something that is wrong or you don't understand, or just say it and we will clarify. All right, why do we think God is asking us to follow the rules for the race that we're running?
To ensure that we have order. And that is run according to the regulation, so everybody knows what the expectations are. Everybody will keep in their lane.
Uh-huh.
No accidents.
Sabrina, I'm not hearing you. Maybe your volume is low.
Okay.
Because mine reach 100.
Mine's is at the highest that it can go, Sister Laverne.
So, all right, my dear. Uh-huh.
Yes.
So you were saying that God wants us to stay in our lane, right?
Yes, ma'am. And that the rules will ensure that there are no accidents we are all on the same page. You know, we know what the expectations are.
Mm-hmm.
And there shouldn't be any chaos.
Okay, great. Thank you. I hope persons are writing notes. I hope you have your notebook or your notepad and you are recording. My book has notes. I usually write up in my book or highlight it. So we don't want any accident. We want each person to know what lane they're running in so that they would not be disqualified. Anybody else? Kenya, you have anything else to say?
He knows what he expects of us. That's why he gave us the rules.
Okay. So
he knows what he expects of us. And if we abide by the rules, at the end of the day, we win the prize.
That's right. Somebody else, Lorraine Hewitt.
Good night. He wants us to spend eternity with him.
Okay, he wants us to spend eternity with him. That's the ultimate goal, because remember Jesus said he has gone to prepare a mansion for us. So we want to make sure we stay in our lane, we do not cause any accident so that we can get to that place. Anybody else?
Obedience.
Three, your mic is on and we're hearing conversations.
Obedience.
Uh-huh. He wants us to be obedient. Yes. Really?
Yeah, that was me who said obedient.
Oh, okay.
Also, he wants us to be an example. How it looks like to follow the rules, of what it looks like to follow the rules.
That's right, Pamela. I'm Lorraine Hewitt. I think you're Jamaican. I know you just came in. And Sherry and somebody else came on a few minutes ago. We are dealing with Teresa. We're dealing with chapter 11, running with the rules of the kingdom, page 52. I know Sherry would not have a book, but you can follow along. All right? So the question was asked.
Good night. Yeah, good night.
The question was asked, why God is asking us to follow the rules, and some responses were, so that we can stay in our lane. We would be ready to reach in that mansion. We would not cause any accident. We would be role models. God knows what he expects of us. So we have a number of things we know why God is asking us. What does it mean to run with the rules? What does it mean to run with the rules? And we have a definition. But before I go there, I try to answer that question. And it says, number one, it helps to build strong bones. When we run with the rules, we're running, we're jogging spiritually. We would build strong spiritual bones. Two, it is a weight-bearing exercise. So if we become too fat spiritually, it is going to downsize us. Number three, it doesn't only strengthen the bones, but it also strengthens and stretch our muscles, spiritual muscles, that we will be strong and we won't go with every wind and doctrine as wailing women and as Christians. We improve our heart. What does God look at? He looks at our heart. Remember, they're conked with when Samuel went to anoint David, they were looking at his brothers who apparently was taller and maybe have a lot of muscles and big bones. And what did God say to Samuel? He said, you're looking at the outward appearance, but he, God, is looking at the inside, our heart. And he looks at our heart. And there are health benefits for running with the rules. Now, what I want us to do, homework very early, I want us to study. And remember, I mentioned Mr. Bolt. He is a Jamaican. If we go and look at his bibliography, we would understand who he is and how he reached where he is today. And also, most of the athletes, if we look, we have two tennis players we know of, Serena and what's her sister name? Venus. When we look at both of them and go back to their background and we see what they had to do in order to reach where they are. Cricketers also have to do certain things in order to reach. And it is no different with us as wailing women and as Christian following the rules of the kingdom. We have to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needed not be ashamed. And those of us who have the mandate and the training manual books, you have from 1 up to volume 3. You also have Words from the Father's Heart, and they have, I think, up to volume 9. So we need to have these books so that we'll know as intercessors, as wailing women, and not forgetting as Christians, we have to read. Knowledge is power. The more we read, is the more we will understand the rules to the kingdom. Definition, to run is to move with quick steps at a rapid rate with at least one leg off the ground. So we are running a race. The Christian walk or the Christian race is to be run with all diligence and all patience. And if we go to Galatians 5, it will tell us some rules also. We are supposed to be exercising the fruits of the Spirit, gentleness, kindness, self-control, and we name it. So we are running. We have to be energized. How would we energize? how Mr. Bolt won his race. What are some of the things he had to do? We cannot be laid back. We have to get ourselves prepared. What are rules? A statement of what can or should be done in a situation. A principle governing a conduct, action, procedure, or regulation. Now, I think Sabrina spoke about running in your lane. When you're running actual race, they put you in lanes. If you come out of your lanes, they will tell you you are what? Disqualified. And we have to think, as Christians who are running the spiritual race, what are some of the things that would cause us to be disqualified? I'm throwing out that question. So unmute your mic and give me an answer. What are some of the things that would cause us to become disqualified in running the spiritual race, the race for the kingdom? Somebody who have not spoken before. Cheryl, Cherian, let me hear you. You're on mute already.
Yes.
Just as you said, if we don't obey the rules, stay in our lane, we will be disqualified. Or if you take drugs, if you are on drugs, you will be disqualified. So in the spiritual, I believe, if you are not behaving the right way, if you're still carnal minded and you know, and doing things that sinners do, as we say, if you don't look after the temple, which is the our body, which is a temple, we can be disqualified from this spiritual race.
All right. I think Ramonia had on mute. Let me hear you, Ramonia. Ramonia? Who is Danica Walters? Good evening.
We can become disqualified if we don't abide in the will of God, if we don't observe the commandments that are given to us.
Okay, if we don't abide by what? Give me one of the commandments.
Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart.
Ivy Butler, could you mute? You didn't finish the verse, Miss Walters. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and let me say with everything that we have, and there's another part. Love your neighbor as yourself. So if you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor, neither can you love God, because there's a verse that says, if you can't love who you're seeing, how can you love God who you cannot see with your natural eyes? You have to see God as in the spiritual realm, all right? And there are other things, there are other rules, there are other principles. There are other actions, there are other regulations that as believers and as wailing women that we have to follow in order to be successful. And a lot of times when we are going through difficulties or we're going through trials, like Job's friends thought that is because he has sinned why he was going through the difficult patch. Not necessarily that we have sinned, because we know sin, there's a consequence, but there are some things that we have to go through that would pull us in the lane so that we would not cause any accident, and also for our upliftment and our maturity, that those of us who have to move from the milk to the hard food. So we have to govern ourselves. We have to behave a particular way. We have to behave like kingdom children, kingdom people, kingdom participants. All right? Therefore, to run with rules is to move at a fast rate, following a set of guidelines or regulation that will keep us on track and help us to achieve our goal. In this case, we are considering the spiritual race, and our goal, our objective, is to make heaven, not just barely make heaven, but with crowns, stars in our crowns. There are some people who, when they give their life to Christ, they sit and say, well, I have been a Christian for so many years, and they just relax. But there are things that we have to do that would take us into that realm. There are times when the Lord put us through pruning stage. He is the potter. We are the clay. And when he turns and he see there's some unwanted clay, that is going to cause us to stumble, that is causing us to come out of our lane, he is going to take them off. And sometimes it may feel hard at times. It's just like you go to the doctor and you're going to get an injection. Those persons like myself who don't like needles. All right. So number one, preparation for spiritual race. Now, salvation, the first step, salvation. John 3:3 states that we must be born again. That is the account where Nicodemus went to Jesus by night. Because of his position and his status, he did not want his colleague or his friends or maybe the other people around to see him going to Jesus. Because salvation, it is a basic prerequisite. It is a realization of sin. God, I have sinned. I'm asking you to create in me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit within me. And even though we have asked God for that from the beginning of our salvation, it is very important as Christians, as believers, as wailing women, to look at Psalms 51 and ask God to create in us clean heart. And even the model of the Our Father prayer, it says to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So we have to confess our sins. God, I said something to Kenya and it make her feel bad. It caused her to become discouraged. I'm asking you to forgive me. Give me wisdom of how to speak to her the next time around. Or I can go to her and say to her, you know, I spoke to you a little harshly, because sometimes we encounter babies, spiritual babies. So we have to, as somebody said earlier, be role models for them. So repentance and cleansing, we are to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and as Master of our life, asking him to reign on the throne of our hearts, asking him to guide us. He said, this is my way, walk in it. Don't look to the left nor the right. And he gives us the word of God is there. Holy Spirit is also there that will guide us. Under the preparation, it says select the best breed of runners. Now we hear the word pedigree. When we are looking at race, and I'm sure all of us somewhere along the line, even as children, we had to run in sports at school, some athletic activity. Now, what is going to happen? You have to train. You have what you call a 100-meter dash, and you have whatever other 200 meters. And the more meters you have to build stamina. As believers, we have to be strong. We have to build, as we said earlier up, build strong bones, build, strengthen our muscles. We can't, and as Wailing Woman, when you read the mission statement and you read the different aspect of the mandate, we'll recognize that we cannot be timid. We have to be as bold as a lion. So those who strive and try hard exert energy and power of mind or body towards the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. We cannot be lazy or slothful. A lot of times, like today, I was saying, you sit down and you make so many excuses. Oh, I can't do that because this is happening. And, you know, Wailing Women have so many activities. Oh, I can't fit into that now. But whatever we do for God is what would last. But in the process, we have to nurture our physical being in order to run the spiritual race also. But we cannot be laid back. We cannot be idle. We cannot. And in our mandate of Wailing Woman, it tells you also that I found it earlier today. I hope I find it to remind us, because I'm sure some of our ladies here and new, some would have joined Wailing Woman very early. So it says, it is not for idlers. It is not a place for gossip. It is not a habitation for lazy ones. No, Wailing Woman worldwide can't accommodate it. It is for serious-minded believers. Serious-minded believers. So we have to be always on our alert. We have to always be on our guard. And as we go along, we'll realize that there are times when we have to wake up at certain hour in the morning to talk to God about a situation, perhaps in our nation, perhaps in the church, even within the family. But we have to make sure if a nation is sending athletes to run, what they do, they send their best. They look for high pedigree. When we are selling goods, what we do, we look for the best. We don't look for anything with spots or wrinkles. Those who will attain mastery, what happened? They have control. And I take you back to Galatians 5. We have to have self-control with determination. Supremacy. And we have to look for the best. The word of God says we should be the head and not the tail. We should be the head and not the tail. We should strive for the best. As believers, we are supposed to allow God's glory, the Shekinah glory, to shine through us so that others can see that there's something within us that is different from our counterpart. And also true knowledge or skills. Whatever knowledge we have or skills, we must improve ourselves. A lot of times people strive for the secular, but not for the spiritual. Sometimes you'll hear a child saying, "Mommy, I want to be a pastor." And the parents would ask them, "Boy, you crazy? Pastor? When I want you to be a doctor?" But God, if God is calling the young man to be a doctor, he will go if God is calling him to be a pastor or a missionary. What we do is ask, God, is this what you want us to do? God doesn't want anything to be mediocre. We must give him the best. Give of the best to the master. Give of the best of our youth. And even though we have passed, some of us may have passed our youthfulness, we can still give God our best. Little is much when God is in it. People have the ability and potential to be the best. And I want to stay here, and we're going to have a discussion on Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. So I want, Teresa, you are going to find Daniel chapter 1, read from verse 1 to 4, and we are going to have a discussion on it. So some people will have to unmute the mic. And I want us to have, remember we're saying it's a discussion, please.
Daniel 1, chapter 1.
Yes, from verse 1 to 4.
In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem, and beside it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim of Judah into his hand, with the part of the vessel of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shen to the house of his God, and brought the vessel into the treasure house of God, of his God. Sorry. And the king spoke unto Hazapha, the master of the of his
eunuchs,
that he should bring a certain of the children of Israel, and the king's seed, and the princes, children of whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and calling in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability to them to stand in the king's place, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the cherubim. Amen. And that's it.
Amen. Okay, amen. So let's look at some of the key points in those four chapters. All right, let's look at some of the key points. So I'm waiting on the class to give some of the key points there and say why you think those aspect or concept was being highly recommend. Lorraine, Leah, V. Henry, Pastor Ivy.
You they wanted skillful.
Yes.
They wanted skillful people with wisdom.
But before we go there, you observe where those persons came from?
From Babylon.
No, they were in Babylon.
Yeah.
But where they came from? They came from Judah. Remember, they were being captured, okay?
Yeah.
And this is what Nebuchadnezzar was asking. And it's just recently I learned Daniel was a eunuch. All right, because I was studying the eunuch who God sent Philip to speak with. So let's go. Thank you very much, Teresa. Somebody else, Pamela? Nadia Mackenzie.
He wanted people who were cunning in knowledge, understanding science. Smart people, now, wise.
Wise, uh-huh.
Yeah, but God allowed them to be captured. I suppose, again, because of disobedience.
Disobedient. Mm-hmm. But if you observe, perhaps maybe Daniel and the three Hebrew boy were not disobedient.
No, but the nation.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you say that. So it is telling us the whole lump. When one person does something, it affects everybody else who is part of that whole. And we will, as we go along, we'll see that there's some people that they would have done something and how it affects the whole nation. All right, anybody else? They were supposed to be without blemish. Yes, Sherian, let me hear you.
I was looking at the fact that they were young and they were handsome.
They were young and they were handsome. Uh-huh, because it says good looking, gifted in all wisdom, gifted in all wisdom. So it means as children of God, the Bible says if we lack wisdom, we must do what?
Ask of God. He gives it liberally.
He gives it liberally. So every day, if we don't know what to do or how to maneuver in a situation, ask God for wisdom. And after this said wisdom, gifted in all wisdom, it also said processing knowledge. So it's not just wisdom alone. Yes, Sabrina?
When I think about them taking the youth, I was just thinking in terms of training them in in the Chaldean way in order to be of service to the king. So they sought the best, just as God is calling us to give our best. This earthly king decided to take those who were youthful, probably thinking that he could retrain their minds or bring out the best that was in them, but in their culture.
Yes.
So it was a retraining and a retooling to fit into their society.
Thank you very much. Because you notice there he said, processing knowledge and quick to understand. And also who have the ability. Yes.
Good evening. Also, one other thing that we need to note is that I think they took the young persons or the young men, they said that they want those that were from royalty, those that were, special, and that they wanted to kill the purpose of Israel. Because, as young people, without them, because I think in the other nations around, they knew the power and the authority that the Israelites or the Jews had. Right, and so if they took the young men, they were going to kill the purpose of bringing up the future leaders, amongst the Israelites. And so they opted to take those that were knowledgeable, those that had wisdom, those that were favored, and all of that, to also, like Sister Sabrina said, to also train them and to doctrinate them in their Babylonian ways.
Very much. And you observe who the enemy usually attack. It's the young. God called the young because they're strong, but the enemy, what he would do or what he usually do, he attacks the young minds. All right. Sabrina, you had your hand up again, or that was from the last time?
That was from the last time.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much, class. Y'all are doing very well. I'll give y'all an A+. So those who have a clear understanding of the mission, the vision, and the goal, as we know in Habakkuk 2:2, Habakkuk was told to write the vision. Now, wailing woman, we have a mandate, and in the mandate, we have a vision. A lot of offices, you go to organization, NGOs, they have a mission, they have a vision. They look for objective. Those who are teachers, when you go into the class, you must have your objectives. You must have your goal. You must have what you want your students to attain, how much knowledge you would want them to have. So as kingdom people, royalty, we must know the vision. Write it down, not only for wailing women, but also for ourselves as kingdom children. We must have a vision, have a goal. Now, the question is asked, do you know the mission, the vision, the goal of the wailing woman? Last year, we would have done the mandate. So that those are things we have to revisit from time to time. Learning for some people take place immediately. Others may take a longer time to process. So we have to visit and we have to revisit. Now, Jeremiah 9, from 1 to 22, we have to revisit those, and especially from verse 17 to 21. And those who are new, I hope what you can do, there's a website, Wailing Woman website, Wailing Woman Caribbean. I would have to look for their or ask for them to give those persons who are new the website. You can go to the website. There are the training there from the mandate. So you can go in your quiet time and listen. So it says, call for the wailing woman, call for the mourners, because we need to wail, we need to moan, we need to put down in prayer and call upon the Most High God, because why, death is coming up at our windows and no home is exempted. We have to cover the homes. We have to cover the church. We have to cover our nation. And these are the days when the enemy is becoming more rampant. And as somebody said, very bold face. He is after our children. He's after our young men. So revisit, read over Jeremiah 9. From 1 to 22, know the mandate, know the vision, know the mission, know the goals. And I think once we do that, as I remembered regional coordinator would impress upon our heart that we must marry to the land. It means then we have to make vows. When we make vows to serve, we must serve diligently with all the strength that we have. And Joel 2 talks about we must blow the trumpet. If we study the culture of the Israelites, we know that the watchmen, we are watchmen that we should watch our nations. Remember, the topic is running with the rules of the kingdom. We are to blow. One of the rules is to blow the trumpet. In Wailing Woman, we have what you call the shofar that you will hear from time to time that is being blown. I have one in my possession. I have to practice I have to practice it. Blow the trumpet when the enemy is coming. It means then we have to watch. We have to keep our eyes open. We are the entire army, and we have to fight vigorously, not flesh and blood, but spiritually. It means then we have to get down on our knees very often and cry out to Almighty God. Now, Jeremiah 1:10, and I want to encourage us to read the scriptures, please. Read. Knowledge, we said, is power. The more we know, it is so important for us to know strategies to fight the weapons of our warfare is not carnal. So we have to read. So Jeremiah 1:10, can somebody find Jeremiah 1:10? And read, please, quickly.
I will read.
Okay, Sonia.
Jeremiah 1:10. Yes. See, I have this day set there over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant.
Okay, so you hear how many things we have to do? See if Simonia, go back. We have to do what? Pick out the concept.
We have to root out.
Wait, hold on. We have to do what?
Root out.
Root out. How are we going to root out?
We need to root out all the evil or things that the enemy has planted around us.
Uh-huh.
Through prayers, through the word of God.
That's right. Uh-huh. The next one.
To pull down.
To pull down. What are we pulling down?
We're pulling down strongholds.
Principalities
and powers.
Principalities and powers.
All spiritual wickedness in high places, we're pulling down through the by the authority of the word and of God.
Through prayers and a little voice is saying something on my side here. So let me hear saying it again. Speaking too soft. Unrighteous altars. She's saying that we have to pull down unrighteous altars also.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Simonia?
And to destroy.
To destroy. So you see, you have to pull up, you have to pull down, and you must do what?
Destroy.
Destroy. Because you remember in the account when God told the Israelites what to do with the enemies around them? But they did not obey him.
Destroy them.
Destroy them. And that is what is causing a lot of havoc in the Middle East there. All right? So pull down.
Pull down.
And show down.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Simonia.
Yes,
I see Lorraine Hewitt. You have any contribution to make? Uh-oh. Lorraine, you can unmute your mic.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. I must apologize. I'm at work and I'm leaving work, so I'm moving around with the phone at the same time. So, of course, I didn't hear that last part, so I wouldn't be able to respond.
All right, so you know next time you need to.
I know, listen.
All right, then. All right. So she was saying we need to uproot, we need to pull down, we need to destroy. We have to remove, break down altars, whatever is there to break down and pull up. We know that there are altars, and we would learn that along the line. There are altars that need to be destroyed, evil altars. And we have to learn how to follow the rules in order to destroy those altars. You don't just go and pull down altars like that. You would hear how you do it. All right? So we have other scripture like Isaac, Jeremiah 51. I was looking at that. We have Isaiah 32, 20. Yes, Pamela?
Before, well, we have done all the pulling down and breaking down and destroying, but then we have to build and plant.
All right, so we have to build and plant. So if we pull down unrighteous altar, it means we have to rebuild righteous altar. So we can't pull down the unrighteous altar and leave it like that. So if we are, if within our families, like, there are unrighteous altars, and we pray, we go down in prayer and fasting and bring them before the Lord and ask the fire of God to burn them out of existence, it means then we have to ask God to replace it with righteous altars, righteousness in the fullness. Isaiah 32:9-20 and Isaiah 62:6-7. I want somebody to read Isaiah 62 from verse 6-7.
Christian?
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
For the foolish person will speak foolishness, and his heart will work iniquity. To practice ungodliness, to utter error against the Lord, to keep hungry, unsatisfied, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. Mm-hmm. 7. Also, the schemes of the schemer are evil. He devises wicked plans to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speak justice.
That's right, chapter.
You read Isaiah 32 with 62.
62. 62?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said 6. Sorry. Isaiah
62.
So it's Isaiah 62?
Yes, darling.
Oh, okay. I was reading something else. Okay. Sorry.
Isaiah
about that.
62. From 6-7, maybe it's my fault because I found 32.
I think it's 32, sorry. Okay. Mm-hmm. 62, and what verse?
From verse 6-7.
Six to seven. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have set watchmen on your wall, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day nor night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. You have said 6-7?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, yes. Thank you very much. It says that what God is saying to us, the rules for the kingdom, running with it.
Yes.
He has set watchmen on
the wall.
The walls, O Jerusalem. We can say God has set watchmen on the walls of Bahamas, on the walls of Barbados,
on yes, the that's walls right.
of Trinidad, St. Lucia, St. Okay. Vincent, Venezuela, Guyana, who am I missing? Grenada, Dominica,
yeah.
God has set watchmen on the walls of the Caribbean, Antigua also. We have Cuba, we have Venezuela, we have St. Martin's, we have Martinique. You know, we have, God has set watchmen on these walls, and he's going to set watchmen over the Caribbean. We are running, yeah. We are rolling in little by little. And it says, we shall not hold our peace
day nor night.
Day nor night. So it means day and night we are supposed to be consistently talking to the Lord.
Amen.
Talk to the Lord. Even though we are in the kitchen, we can watch our walls. Even though we're in the bathroom, we can watch our walls. Even when we're driving, we can watch our walls. Day and night, we are not going to hold our peace. We are not going to hold our peace. We are not going to give him any rest until he establish and he make the Caribbean a praise in the earth. We are end time soldiers, so we are to march on to war. Okay, number two, equipping for the race. We must run the race with patience. Athletes run light, and more we see them taking off more of the clothes. Now, God doesn't want us to take off our physical clothes. What he wants us to do is get rid of the weight and the sin that easily beset us, the thing that is holding us back from crying out day and night, the sins that have us bound, the chains. It may be an attitude. It might be God is calling us to something and we're not hearing him because we're not spending time in the quiet place. Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If we can say like David, come bless the Lord. You know, we can run light by blessing the Lord at all times. Let his praise continually be in our mouth. Now they go with only basic essentials. If we look at them running, they do not want, and you know, each, if we look at the different century of time or different times when athletes would run, we'll observe first time the clothes that they had on is different from the clothes they're wearing now. The young ladies just cover the upper part and the lower part, and they keep going. No encumbrance or attachment, nothing to hinder us. If we observe something is keeping us back from really reaching out to God, we need to take stock. From time to time, as Christians and as wailing women, we need to take stock. We need to find out what it is that is hindering us from really hearing from God. God, what are you saying to us? Okay, Sherian. All right. What are you saying? Lord, what are you saying to me? Lord, what are you saying to the chapter that I'm part of? Lord, what are you saying to us as wailing women in Barbados, in Dominica, in St. Lucia, in the Bahamas, in Trinidad, in Jamaica? What is it you're saying? It says, be light physically and spiritually. Get rid of the things that keep our minds off of God. We are just pilgrim passing through. When we set up too much on earth, we don't want to leave them. But spiritually, we must go. So, what are some of the things that we need? How far do we go? Now, I put a note below, an MB, and it take me back to Joel 2:7-8. Now, the team, let me remind us that the team for this year, 2021, Wailing Woman in the Caribbean, is unity, run as one in 2021. We are running a race. is not a race that would say we are competing against each other, but it means that all of us must reach the finish line. So if somebody, if let's say Teresa fall down, we don't leave her there. What we do, we take her up. Maybe she might have to hold on our shoulders. We are not running, leave anybody. We are running this race together. Psalms 144 and verse 1 and 2 tells us what our fingers and our hands should be used for. So, let us remember to focus on run as one in 2021. That's a theme for Wailing Women in the Caribbean for this year. Now we have a number of persons we are going to talk about. We have Saul, as in 1 Samuel 15. We have Achan, as in Joshua 7, 11, 21 to 26. We have Abraham, Genesis 12. So what we can do, somebody can find, or perhaps we know about the account and we can give some explanation about them. How far did they go and what is the consequence? How far did they go in equipped in themselves for the race? And what happened? We have Rachel in Genesis 31, 34 to 35, 35, 16 to 19, and we have David. So if persons know of Saul according to 1 Samuel 15, we don't necessarily have to read all of that, but we can open up a discussion. Pamela?
Yes. Saul, they were going to fight a battle against the Amalekites. And he was instructed to destroy everything and everybody, from the youngest to the oldest. But he decided he was going to take the king alive, and that they were going to keep the best sheep, oxen, and everything like that. Destroy those that were weak, but keep all those that were strong. And when Samuel came to him, the first thing he jumped ahead and said, "Oh, Samuel, hi, I have obeyed the Lord completely." So he asked him, "What is the bleating of the sheep that I hear?" So he said, his men took the best of the sheep and goats, etc., to offer as sacrifice to the Lord. And then he had also brought King Agag into his camp. So when Samuel said to him, "Do you think, you know, the Lord delights in burnt offerings rather than in obedience?" Because he partially obeyed what God said, but God wants total obedience. So he said that because he had disobeyed the Lord, he would be rejected as king. God didn't want him again because he did not obey him completely. And he was really sorry that, well, kind of sorry that he had done that, but sorry that he was rejected. So when Samuel was turning to leave, he tore off, he held onto his robe and then it tore. So he told him the same way that the robe tore, the kingdom was torn away from him. And Samuel destroyed, killed King Agag, cut him up in pieces. And Saul was rejected. Samuel was lamenting over it for a long time, but God had already rejected him. It was all because of his disobedience.
Good, and that's a lesson for us. We may not take off the best of the whatever God says not to, but perhaps we may not be giving God our best. There's a song that says, give up the best to the master. Yes, Brenda Lee, I see a hand up.
I'll take Aiken.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Aiken disobeyed when they went to Al to war, and they lost the battle. And Joshua inquired if the Lord would happen, and he was told about Achan, and Achan had hide the bought the gold and some of the stuff back, and he buried it in his tent. And after he confessed, Joshua told the men to go and get it. They got it, they destroyed it, and then they stoned Achan and his whole family.
Friendly.
Yes, you didn't hear me?
Oh, you finished.
Okay. Oh, you wanted me to elaborate more. All
right. Yes, Achan was disobedient. Just like Saul, Achan was disobedient. He was not. And what one of the key points here, remember, is rules of the kingdom. Okay. Running with the rules of the kingdom. He was supposed to obey. You see, when we become disobedient, what happens? And what happened too? It did not just affect Achan. And I'm wondering if Achan's family knew what he did. But the family was destroyed. In the new covenant, a lot of people would say, oh, but we have grace. That was the law. The law was rigid, but we have grace. But because Paul said also, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And when we are disobedient, if you observe with Saul, it did not just affect Saul alone, but it affected his family. It did not affect Achan alone. His whole family was destroyed. And even though we have grace, it affects our family. Whatever we do, it affects our family. It affects the clan. So we need to run the race by the rules. And remember, Marina said earlier, to avoid accident, keep within the lane. All right. Yes, Brenda Lee.
I said it didn't only affect his family, it affect the whole children of Israel, because they lost the battle.
Yes,
which was supposed to have been an easy battle for them.
That's right. Because they send less men
because
that AI was small.
Small.
And it went a second time, and then is when Joshua realized, no, something has to be wrong. Mm-hmm. After God has given us the victory over Jericho, the giants in the land, and here we have a smaller set of people, and we can't conquer them, something has to be wrong. So he had to check. He had a checkpoint. So as kingdom people, as end time soldiers, there are times when we have to stop and do where we may be going wrong. Abraham, somebody.
Yes.
Two persons. Somebody.
Yes.
Okay, Abraham. Go ahead.
Oh, there's another person talking.
No, you go ahead. I'll let Teresa give her part also.
Abraham, God called Abraham out of his kindred,
mm-hmm.
out of his country, from his family. Abraham obeyed the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He left with everything that he had, his wife, mm-hmm. his animals and everything, and he obeyed the Lord. And as a result of that, he obeyed God in every situation. As a result of that, he became the father of many nations. He was blessed. because he followed the direction of the Lord. So we realize as a result of Abraham's blessing, through his obedience, many of us has been blessed today because of Abraham being obedient to God. He actually forgot about himself and everything, and he obeyed the Lord.
Amen. Teresa, share yours now.
Just a moment, please.
Ms. Smith, go ahead.
Even can I add something to what she said about Abraham? As we are on the note of obedience and prayer to the other persons who did not completely obey God, we realize that Abraham fully obeyed when God told him to take his only son Isaac, even to the point where he held up his hand to kill his only son when God said. So he fully obeyed God. And I like that principle of total obedience. And Abraham demonstrated that. He did not do it half-heartedly. He went even to the last point when God stepped in. So that's the part I really love about that story. His full obedience to God brought the blessing.
Amen. Amen. Teresa?
Amen. Well, God blessed Abraham, and verse 5 said he took Sarah, his wife, and his brother's son, and all of them, and they gathered their soul, and they went to the land of Canaan.
Thank you very much for sharing, all of you. Now, also remember, let us put it in our context as wailing women and as end time army. There are times when God is going to call us to go to places that we may not be familiar with, but we have to remember, like Abraham, where God leads us, he is willing to take care of us. So we have not to worry, just be obedient, total obedience. Rachel?
Can I do that, Sister Lover?
Yes, go ahead.
Right. You see that Rachel at this point, Jacob had left Laban. He had run away from Laban, and he took his two wives with him and all his possession. And Rachel was the one that took the things from Laban. She stole Laban items, and she took them with her. When Laban realized that Jacob had gone, and he sent men after him to find out where he was, and when he caught up with them, he asked about the things that she had taken from him, and they searched and they searched and they couldn't find them. But when they got into her tent, she had hidden them under the object that she was sitting on, and she lied to them and said that she couldn't stay up because she was having a period, which was a lie. And then as the story goes on, we see after they left in and started to travel again, she was with child. This was with Benjamin. She was pregnant with Benjamin. And when it was time for her to give birth, she had great difficulty. And we are told that she died what we would call in childbirth. Because as soon as she gave birth to the child and she named him Benoni, she drew her last breath. But then Jacob came and Jacob named him Benjamin. So she had lied. She stole the things from Laban And then she lied that she didn't have them and lied about having a period. And then you see that at the end of it, she had difficulty in childbirth and she died.
Okay, so.
Died as a result of Jacob's curse.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Curse. Mm-hmm. Not knowing that is the wife. Yes. And that is why, you see, we have to be so careful. And one of the things that as soldiers, we have to remember, whatever is done in darkness is being revealed. And we see even with Jacob, and you know, whatever you do affects other person, it affects other soldiers. So we have to be very mindful. We have to be able, and you know, sometimes people do not want to confess and say, you know, I'm sorry. And we, a curse, if somebody says something to us, because life and death is in the power of the tongue, somebody says something to us, once it is not true, it would not affect us. But if it is true, then you know that it is going to affect us down the road. Of use. All right. David, somebody else. Thank you very much.
Can I do David?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. In this lesson, Saul wanted David to use his armor, which would be the bronze headpiece. And his sword. But when David hastened the sword and the armor from Saul, he tried to walk and he could not walk. It was too heavy for him. And he said, I cannot walk with these because I have not tested them. And then David took them off and went with what he accustomed dealing with, his staff in his hand. He chose the 5 smooth stones from the brook and he put them in his shepherd bag, a pouch that he had. And then he the sling that was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And when he came near, he began to draw the Philistine, started to come near him. And he just wear the shield. And like, as we will normally tell the children, the stone and hit him exactly where God wanted him to hit him.
Okay, thank you very much. And if you observe, one of the concepts there is the armor of Saul. It did not belong to David. And the concept of what Sabrina said earlier about running in your lane can be placed there. The armor was not David's armor, it will belong to Saul. He could not use that. It's just like what God asked Moses when they were confronted with the Red Sea in front of them, and the Egyptian army along with Pharaoh behind them. In our terms, we'll say they were between a rock and a hard place. And God said to Moses, What do you have in your hand? David used what he had in his hand, which was the smooth stone fife and his sling. And it's the words. It's not even the significant thing there. It's not the stone or the sling. It is what David said. He told, Goliath was cursing God's children. David said, you come to me with sword, all these a powerful thing, but I'm coming to you in the name of the God of Israel. So that's what he went to Goliath with. Number three, thank you very much for sharing. Anybody else have anything else to share?
Amen. Sister Lavon, this just dropped in my spirit that, David had the sling and the stone. You know, that is what David had at that time. And even with Moses, with the rod that he have, this ministered to me that God use whatever we have on with us. Whatever we have, God use it. So I just want to share that.
Yes. And as we said earlier, David made the sling and the stone available. And he made himself available. If we look at the account very carefully, he was sent in the camp by his father to take food for his brothers. And after David started making himself available, it started upsetting his brothers. So as the rules for the kingdom, the rules that we have as end time army might not fit into the rules or the norms of what is around us. But what do? We still have to stand and we still have to run the race that is set before us. Make ourselves available for the work of the Lord. Thank you very much, Carla. Our equipment. Know your coach. Somebody read Psalm. I love this Psalm. Psalm 144, 1 and 2. Somebody who have not spoken before. Carleen Smith. You have, let me see, someone else who didn't speak before. You have a B. Henry, you have Doreen, you have Mackenzie. Somebody else who haven't spoken. You have Sherry. I see Mona in. So somebody who have not read before. Could you read Psalm 144 from verse 1 to 2, please?
Can I read it?
Yes, go ahead.
144
from verse 1 to 2.
Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me.
Amen. The first thing it says, blessed be the Lord, that shows possession, my rock. God is our rock. So it shows possession, ownership. And it doesn't say ownership, but it says blessed. So what we do there, we're lifting God up. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, our rock. And what he does, he trains our hands for war. And how we have to allow him. We have to give him preeminence. We have to make ourselves available So he trained us. He trained our hands for war and our fingers for battle. He says, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer and the shield and the one of whom I take refuge. When we are overwhelmed, God would lead us to a rock that is higher than us, which is he himself. He will hide us in the cliff of the rock. So we don't have anything to be afraid of. Now it says, know your weapons, know God's armory. And we have Jeremiah 50:25. Those of you who don't have the book, I'm going to call them out because I am going to give you homework. Class is not supposed to not have homework. Students usually tell the parents, oh, teacher didn't give us homework. But if teacher doesn't give you homework, you can make homework for yourself. Read and be ahead of the teacher. Pamela, make sure to know me this afternoon that she have read. I'm so happy. And I'm sure there are others who would have read ahead of time, which is very good. All right, so Jeremiah 50:25. You have Jeremiah 51:20-24. Jeremiah 50:25, Jeremiah 51:20-24, 2 Corinthians 10:3-6, Ephesians 6:11-24. Anybody miss any? Say it, put your hand up and I'll repeat. That's especially for those who don't have their texts. Okay, so it's telling me everybody is ready. Now,
repeat it again, please. Sorry.
Jeremiah 50:25. Jeremiah 51:20-24. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. Ephesians 6:11-24. Homework, read those and see what are the equipment, what are the tools that we are to know that we do. Somebody, mic is open. So that we know the weapons that we have to use in fighting the battles, not physical battles, but spiritual battles. And while I was preparing this, I remember I have this book, 101 Weapons of Warfare. So if we are finished on Thursday early, when we look at those, when you look at what we have in Jeremiah, we are going to look to see if those are some that is in this book. 101 weapons. And with this book, it has prayer points. For each weapon, you know, some of it, fear of the night, fear of the day, finger of God, hailstones. So there are times when we have to ask God to rain down hailstones on the enemy, the lightning of God, the fire of God, the sword of God. All right, so 101 weapons, spiritual warfare, or we can say equipment. So read up these scripture verses and look at them very carefully. We know we have a lot in Ephesians 6. Look at them very carefully, circle them, mark them, look to see what they are. That's your homework. So when you come on Thursday, we are going to look at some. We may not be able to look at all. Remember, we have 101 weapons. So we're well equipped, you know. God does not leave us unequipped, if that's a word. A spiritual athlete must know that the spirit world is real and know how to war without beating the air. We have to use the right bullets at the right time. We have to make sure our bullets hit the target. We can't miss when it comes to the enemy, because he's not making joke now. He's serious. He doesn't play games. He play to take. You ever pitch marble? Yes, he wants all the marbles in the ring. Even though it means cheating to get the marbles, but we have the weapons to defeat him. We can't back off. If we study if we study how soldiers are being trained, and you see how, you know, sometimes you can go on YouTube and look at how they train the soldiers and use those and visualize the earthly things I use to help us to understand the spiritual things. God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. All right, so we have to know. We have to have the ability. We have to have clear understanding. And we read in the book of Daniel the sort of caliber of men that King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to serve, even though they came from another nation. And as somebody said, he wanted to culturize them into his culture. You observe, he built this big monument and wanted them to bend down, lie down, stoop down, being prostrate to this object. And the three Hebrew boys, and I always believe there were more persons there who did not bow, but because these people were in the king's palace, you know, sometimes when God blesses us, the enemy comes in and he brings his people to cause discord and try to discourage us from fighting. But those guys had respect for the king. They said, "Oh, king, live forever. But if the God whom we serve, even though he's not going to deliver us out of the fire, we are not going to bow." And that is the faith that we need to have in the God whom we serve. Yes, Mona?
No, I was just supporting you.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you.
That is so true.
Oh. Okay, good. So we have to make sure we are battle ready. When we are going to, in the real world, when a soldiers are going out, like some time ago, I saw somebody have some army food and I told them not to eat that, because what they do, they put their stuff in it that would help you to be what? Brave. Because sometimes you see a man coming to you with a gun, what are you going to do? And that is why, let us put it in the spiritual world. The Bible says, two cannot walk unless they agree. One person cannot warm themselves alone. They need somebody to go alongside. We need people to watch our backs. We need to walk alongside each other so that if one fall, the others, two persons would not fall at the same time. We are to look out for one another. We are to encourage each other. Find a word of encouragement so that people can stay within, following the kingdom rule, run the race with patience and determination and perseverance, because this is what God wants of us. Like Job, who stood up in the face of even his wife, who said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" He was well equipped. He said, "You speak like a foolish woman." Job stood up and he said with all confidence, not a little bit, not three quarter, but every confidence that he had within him. And he said, "I know my Redeemer lives. I know for sure that my Redeemer lives. And I will stand on that day." That's why he said he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. So when we talk war, we have to follow the rules. If we don't follow the rules, when they say stand at attention, we have to stand at attention. When our commander says run as one in 2021, it means we must run in unity. It is no time to slacken up. This is not the time for us to keep back and hold back. This is time for us to make ourselves available for the work of God. The harvest is ripe, ready. But what happened? Laborers are few. People become complacent. Isaiah reminded us that we must put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. As wailing woman, running with the rules of the kingdom, if somewhere along the line you feel as if you're slackening up, find somebody. Find somebody who you can say, "Pray for me. Watch my back. Lift me up." And there are things that we need, we must know. We must know what weapon to use for which battle. The soldiers have some heavy guns, M16 and those different names. They can't use the K-44 any and any time, or the M16 at any time. As Christian soldiers, as wailing women, we must know the word of God. As Jesus said when he was tempted of Satan, Satan used the word, but there's something in the word. And at the time, the right timing, he had it offset so that he could have seen if Jesus would make stone into bread. He said, "All this kingdom I'll give to you. All the enemy wants is worship." So here what happened. Jesus turned to him and said, "It is written." So we must, in order for us to say it is written, we must study the word of God diligently. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly divided the word of truth. He said, the word also said, we must be ready to give to every man a what? An account, a word. We must be ready. We must be battle ready. We must know what weapon to use. Number one, the word, Proverbs 15:1, and we have all the text there. We must know them. Creation, I remember about 2 years ago or 3 years ago, they were talking about the blood moon. And I delve into finding out, because there's a book that you call Commanding the Morning. We have to command the morning. When we wake up 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock, we have to command our day using the word of God. Because why? The enemy used creation. He used the sun the moon, fire, hail, stone, whatever possible he can use. But we also can ask creation to fight for us in the name of Jesus. The sun, the moon, fire, hail, stone, locust, water, wind. And remember I said, I'm reminding us about this book, 101. And on Thursday, I would see if I can get a few of them and we can go through
excuse them. Me,
somebody saying, excuse me.
Yes, uh-huh. Cherianne. Who's the author of the book?
This is Dr. D.K. Ukahua. Don't ask me what these African names, but I'll type it in the chat for you.
Okay.
All right, I'll type it there. He also wrote that book, Command in the Morning, and there is another one. I can't remember if somebody's here who know, there's a book you call it Prayer Rain. Prayer Rain, I think there's another one. The Prayers of Jehu, I think he's the author of these books.
Okay.
All right, let me put it in the chat before I forget. It is 101 Weapons. I like it. Spiritual. Just give me a minute, please. I'm typing in the name. KOLUKOYA. All right, I'm going to send it there so everybody can see it. And I think he wrote Command in the Morning. It's a very, that's the first gift I got when I became a Wailing Woman in 2005. Command in the Morning. So we are going to guess there.
There is also a book by Kim Daniels with the name is Give It Back, and she has a Command in the Morning press in that, which is very good. I've been using that for years.
Okay, good. I think I saw that one already too. Mm-hmm. Yes. So if we know as Wailing Woman, we have what you call prayer points. All right, I think that will be dealt with in another chapter. Somebody else will deal with that. But we are going to stay here for now, for tonight, so that we would have a lesson for Thursday. Remember, ladies, please remember homework. Remember to read ahead of the person who is doing the training. You know, the more you know, knowledge is power. It is so, so important that we read and we know the Word of God, because the Word of God is a weapon. When we use the Word of God, when we pray the Word of God, God hears us and He acts very quickly. All right? So you have the homework, know the equipment according to the scriptures that were given there. And I want us to read. Find some time, some quiet time, set aside to delve into the Wailing Woman books. And I'll remind us, there is the mandate, there is the training manual, Volume 1, there's a Volume 2, there's a Volume 3. I know, and I said I would have to ask for, I can't remember if I have it here, the the website. If somebody say who know the website for the Wailing Woman Caribbean, put it in the chat. You go to the website and you'll see all there is you need to know. There are the training that was done on the mandate. It's there. Take time, put some time aside so that you can read. The first time I saw when there were some ladies who came to St. Vincent when we were going to start Wailing Woman here. And when I look at the book they had a mandate book, but it didn't have the cover. And it looked as if it was going through World War III. But what I learned from that is that the book was being used often. They were drinking it like for tea, breakfast, and dinner, so that they will know. They will know the mandate, the vision, the mission, the goals, or the objective of Wailing Woman, of the End Time Army. And these books, they help. I can testify for a fact that since I'm a part of Wailing Woman, my spiritual life has grown. I am not the person that I used to be maybe 5, 6, 2, 3 years down the road. So it helps. It helps us to grow when we use the necessary tools in the battle, the Word of God, and we have others. So I'm encouraging. Okay, thank you. Miss Walters have put the website up. So copy it and use it, please. Don't get tired. Don't get weary. We just have